The E-Commerce Uncovered podcast is a behind-the-scenes look at what makes e-commerce a success in today's ever-growing and continually changing online world. The podcasts look to uncover the secrets of e-commerce success so you can learn and apply to your own online business. Brought to you by the co-founders of Core Fulfillment, one of the UK's leading e-commerce fulfillment providers, Paul Burns and Jeremy Vernon.
Hello and welcome to another episode of E-Commerce Uncovered with me, Paul Burns. Today's guests are Esther and Julius, who are the co-founders of Lusty Chic. Lusty Chic is a women's fashion site which sells a wide range of clothing such as jeans, leggings and shoes. Women's fashion is a notoriously difficult sector, typically with high returns and lots of competition. We're going to cover a number of topics in today's episode, from traffic generation, multi-channel sales, systems and software, fashion-specific issues like returns and sizing, customer service and marketing. So once again, thanks for tuning in and I hope you enjoy the episode. Good afternoon, I'm here with Julius and Esther from Lusty Chic, and they're one of our clients. We've been working with them for about maybe 6 months now. We just wanted to have a chat with them about their experiences and their business, but I'll let them do most of the talking. So guys, could you give us a bit of background about Lusty Chic and how you started and even how you started the business?
I had a shop in London High Street, and based on our client requirements to go online, we decided that, you know, it's time for it. And we knew that we're already popular on the High Street. Now, how do we transit that into online business? So we did a couple of research. We kind of knew roughly what our competitors were doing and how we can do it better. And one of the first things we thought of was to be a little bit more unique than the rest of them. So we need to kind of outsource our product and find suppliers that does a little bit more unique stuff. And
so you really try and find stuff that other people didn't have.
We actually knew the target market because we come from High Street. We were able to recognize who we're going to sell to, what the target market is. Mm-hmm. Okay, and I would say it is important to differentiate, to offer uniqueness when it comes to style, but you got to know what you're doing as well. Mm-hmm. Okay, so experiment, yes. But still, when going for a selection, think whether it's going to sell to most or not. Yeah. It just avoids disappointment. We had it easier because we were on a High Street, so yeah. Our customers dictated and helped us to pick. Well, if you're about to start pure online...
Yeah, you need to do more research.
Yeah.
Well, I suppose it's most online startups never have the experience of talking to their customers face-to-face either. Yes. So that's a big advantage, I suppose, exactly. In many ways. And one of the few downsides of trading online is that you might never actually get to meet your customers face-to-face.
Yes.
That's what it does. And, you know, as we've heard, online, set the website, we're traveling too far. It's too much to keep coming back in here and check for new. We thought, okay, let's try. We didn't really want to go online.
Really?
We didn't think about it. In first attempt, we thought, okay, we've tried a couple of pictures, we've thrown it on the web. They actually did sell all of it. Okay, but then we didn't continue because we weren't that bothered.
Yeah. Okay.
And how did you start? On your own website, or was it on eBay?
We actually started on eBay. Yeah, the website came afterwards. We started on eBay and kind of directed our customers directly to eBay. But we quickly saw that we were becoming very popular on it, and we started to see that a couple of other competitors were doing the same style. Mm-hmm. I mean, roughly of what we're doing. The advantage that, again, that we had was that we had a High Street store. We already knew what the trend was because customers were telling us we want X, Y, Z, we want this. And we already know what will be popular because we've got history and data.
Yeah.
Well, if you're a new business that you want to start online, what I would always suggest, and the best thing is to do your research. If you're selling, I don't know, wallpaper, check what sort of wallpaper is selling or what your other competitors are doing. And see, the next thing is to go to your suppliers. Can you get a better deal? Can you get the same deal? And can you get something more unique? And if it's going to be unique, who are your target?
Yeah.
Is there enough target for that? Is there enough sales you're going to make to be able to clear and, you know?
Yeah, having a very niche product is difficult, you know, as much as the it depends how big your niche is, I suppose. But if it's only 1 in 100 people might wear that product, it might not work. And I suppose it's getting the balance of something that you don't see everywhere, but enough people would want to wear.
If you're doing very niche, then you can't really do too niche and be competitive with price because then you're not going to make any sales. And if you're going to be selling your products are, I don't know, market for 100 people and you're selling for £20, then you can't grow, you really can't grow.
There's a dependency. The more niche you are, the more money you need to spend on the marketing.
Yeah.
Okay. The less niche you are, the more competitors you have.
So there's a balance to be found in the middle there. Yeah.
Yes.
And do you guys find even now that you're still trying to tread that line of what isn't mainstream yet, what isn't too niche? You still find that in your selection process for products?
I think the window shopping helps because we browse competitors. We would also go out and see what's out there. We still communicate with the customers and we read every single message that comes with any sort of suggestion. Mm-hmm. Okay, so that helps you to get it right.
Okay.
I think because, I mean, with fashion especially, there is so much niche in fashion because a pair of jeans is just a pair of jeans. a pair of top, there's so much ways you can make a pair of top.
Yeah.
So even if we're talking about niche, unless you're doing very much high fashion and you have crazy fashion apart from it, there's usually a client for you.
Yeah.
But if you're doing another part of a business, for example, something that is really, really niche, then you really need to spend a lot of time before you start online to do your research.
And do you feel, I always have this feeling now that smaller brands or non-high street brands, I think they've got more chance than ever to be successful because I think people want to be more different and individual than they ever have been before. You know, I remember when I was a kid, the last thing I wanted to do was stand out. You know, I wanted just to be fitting with everybody else.
Yeah.
But now I walk down the street and everyone's dressed differently. I think individuality has become a really big thing.
I think social media plays a huge part of that. And I think in a way, social media is all about being your own celebrity and being your own personality and being different. For you to be successful in social media, you have to be unique. And I think people are kind of incorporating that to their style. And uniqueness seems to be, especially now, I think if you really want to open a online business, now is the key and now is the time to do it because there's a lot of opportunities out there.
Yeah, and I think as well, you know, if you think about how fashion was led maybe 20 years ago, magazines, television, whereas now, as you say, anybody can become popular online. You know, they might have to work hard at it,
yes, true.
But you can create your own style and it's you're not having to spend however much it costs to get an advert in a magazine. It's much more, I think getting in front of customers is easier than ever, but maybe harder to win them because there's so many people out there.
There'll be so many people out there, it's true.
And do you guys do much on social media at all?
We are very live on social media. We post every day on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. So you have to be on social media if you really want to be online.
You have to be active. It is important. But then you also need to mind the advertising because there's a difference between being active on social media and carrying on strong campaigns.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to do a lot when it comes to both. Okay, having a belief that everything would go in an organic way?
No. Just kind of open a website and expect it to sell. That's the least thing you do.
What you get on social media in a natural way, you'd get that strong social proof. You can improve the communication, you can improve the quality, you can improve being active, etc., etc. But then when it comes to reaching and getting new leads for your shop, that does take advertising.
Okay,
you got to go.
And also content. I mean, creativity now is the key to online. I mean, if you have a creative mind, online is for you. Because by being creative on social media, you're going to have followers.
But do you feel social media is more of a validation of your product than actually a sales generation channel?
It's a validation of your brand,
okay,
which can then convert into sales. And I think people buy into brand and people buy into you. And if people understand your brand, they can in a way understand what you're all about. And social media is the only way to kind of get that
put that across.
And social media allows you to be very creative and to really get people to buy into what you're trying to sell.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you just advertise and you're not really social proof, you can't really put the same message across.
It's a bit of a cold relationship, I suppose. It's just, we sell this clothes, come and buy it, the end. Whereas if you're showing other people wearing it and they're sharing their experiences, it's about becoming brand loyal, I suppose. That's one of the other things I wanted to talk about was, do you guys see a lot of repeat business from the same customers?
Yes. Yeah. Well, I mean, the beauty about, I think that's the difference between going through your online store and through the marketplace. It seems to, when it comes to online store, customers seem to be more loyal than to marketplaces. The thing with marketplaces, people just go based on keywords. So if I'm looking for a high-waisted jeans, I want to type in high-waisted jeans in there. And then if it don't show up, then customers can probably not remember where they bought the last product from.
Yeah.
While it is important to have your own website as well, because then you can direct them to their website. But I guess when you're new online, the first place you want to do is marketplaces.
Marketplaces help, yeah. You might benefit when you learn eBay, Amazon, and put your products in. It will boost your sales, and most definitely it would help you to stand on your legs.
Yeah.
Okay, then there is a couple of things to consider when it comes to getting on the marketplace. Firstly, there's a lot of competitors.
Yeah.
Okay, and that play their game, whether it's quality or price, both. So when starting up, make sure that you put a good margin on your product, and also don't compromise on quality.
Yeah.
Okay. Them too need to come in. For as long as you're thinking to remain in the business for over the year, okay, couple of years, 3 years, 5, 10, people will come back and buy quality product.
Yeah.
If you don't have that, it will be one off.
It is very important that with online, and I think it's easy for people to think, okay, I have a product that I buy, I don't know, let's say £3 or £4. I can sell it for £6-7 online, and I can make £2 profit and sell thousands of it. What you have to put into consideration is that how many returns are you going to get back? Who's going to pay for those returns?
It's the true cost of sales.
You're going to have to think, what is the cost of what eBay fees is going to be? So if you kind of think of all those fees and all the cost that comes out of it and the postage and everything, what really is your margin? You're actually making minus.
If you go low quality and low price, your returns will be high. That means no sales actually costs. Okay, instead of any sort of profits. Okay, so you'd make mistake when breaking it down on the paper, thinking I'm gonna go down with the price, I'm gonna buy get something cheap out there. It might actually kill you right at the start.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, then when you buy or get your stock in and think I'm gonna select my products and put my selection out there, don't even hope for a second that everything will sell.
Yeah, it's unrealistic.
It's only, yeah.
So you need to include the cost of stuff that don't sell
as much as stuff that sells
into your costs.
Yep.
And if you skip on that, that can put you off as well.
Yeah, well, look at all the big guys out there. They all have an end of season sale, don't they? Because some stuff just didn't work and they've been doing it for however long.
Exactly.
And I think marketplaces definitely have a place online. I think there was a period, maybe 5 or 6 years ago, I felt that everybody that we spoke to that was starting a business was just going to sell on a marketplace. And I think now people realise it's one of many channels as opposed to the only channel you can sell through.
Yeah.
Because sure enough, somebody will come along with a very similar product, be willing to sell it for 50p less. So it's quite I think sometimes it's more of a short-term way of generating business. But if you want to build a brand like you guys have, you have to have your own shop and drive people to it, really. That's where people become brand loyal again.
Yeah.
I mean, I shop a lot in marketplaces, but it's purely for convenience.
Mm-hmm.
And it's for stuff that I would probably... I could get anywhere, you know, pens for work, but never clothing. Actually, I'd never buy clothing on Amazon.
Really?
I don't know why. I don't think it sets up really well for it.
I mean, there's a lot of people that have the same idea and the same vision where fashion, they can buy computers online, they can buy a lot of things, but when it comes to fashion, it's like, no, I'm gonna,
I buy nearly all my fashion online, just not from Amazon. I don't know why. It's weird. Okay, so you mentioned returns there now. We've spoke to some fashion guys and they are experiencing sort of 25 to 30% returns rates. How do you guys deal with that?
I think we're between 5 to 7%.
One of the returns, and the reason why we're quite low when it comes to 10% below in returns, is both quality. However, we can't guarantee every single quality. Usually what we do get, if a customer return an item because of quality, the chances of us purchasing the same product in from the supplier slip.
Mm-hmm.
Because what's the point? Keep bringing the same product again when quality is already jeopardized. We have to sell off what we have because we have no choice.
Yep.
But we wouldn't repurchase those products. So it's important for the customer's feedback because customer's feedback is on, they're the one that's trying the product. So we don't know sometimes if a product has a default quality. And it could be just as simple as coloring, which you wouldn't know if you're buying the purchase or if you're buying a product. But if your customer says, you know what, the button came off, and another customer says the button came off, okay, you know there's a pattern going on here. Why is the button keep coming off? So it's those little things are what you have to put into consideration. So if customers are complaining about your product, I would not advise to continue to restock that product, because then your return will jump to 25% and 30%. And sizing is a huge issue in fashion.
Yeah.
So if your manufacturers are making their clothes very tiny and you're putting a size chart that says, yeah, it's a standard size 8, when it's clearly not,
they're going to come back every time.
They're going to come back and you're going to get a high return. So it's very important when you're creating the purchase, putting those as the forefront questions before you actually make those purchases.
Yeah, in fact, I've noticed that working with you guys, actually, that the level of detail that you want on your returns is far and away the most out of any client that we deal with. Now, we don't do a whole load of fashion, but it's, I think you're right. I'd never really thought about it from that perspective. If you've got the same supplier that has the issues all the time, they're costing you money.
Exactly.
You know, it could be the best price in the world for a product that looks good, but if you have the same quality issues over and over again, all you're doing is refunding, paying for returns.
Exactly.
So it's very short-lived, I suppose.
So it's important to know what the issues are and be detailed as much, and because we can't improve if we don't have those information. Mm-hmm. And it's the information that allows us to say, okay, supplier, what's going on with your product? It's what we're going to... If the issue becomes so widespread, we might have to just take the product back and just return it back to the supplier. If it's just 1 or 2 out of 10, then we can roughly say we're not restocking, but we're gonna move on from this product.
Yeah, I feel safe in saying that Julius is a fan of detail.
I'll tell you why. Because I believe if you do your homework, okay, if you put some effort in doing your homework right before you start something, it will save you time and money.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and when it comes to saving time, you know, we've gone through the period when we had to spread our attention and give a lot of time to the operation, for example, okay? And then we couldn't focus on sales as well. We couldn't focus on picking the right product just as much as we'd wish,
mm-hmm.
okay? There were other issues dragging our attention towards, you know, and everything else but sales. But this is why we've gone for you guys, okay? Because when you have it all under control, you allow us to focus on what we're talking about right now. Okay, we can focus on the product, we can focus on marketing, we can focus on sales, we can analyze returns. Okay,
yeah.
And then, you know, because you let us and allow us to focus on what we're supposed to do.
It's being a retailer.
Yeah, I think it's very important when you're choosing your fulfillment center that with Core is you tick all the boxes, which means that in terms of, I mean, when you start a business, you still your baby. You start. You will start with doing the communication yourself, mm-hmm. probably doing it at the back of your house, creating your listing and the whole and all of
that's
that.
That's how we started. We started with £5,000 of investment when it comes to the online part of the business. Put the shop aside. We've started this as a separate.
And it's easy to do. And most people will probably do with less, even £1,000.
And when you start small and you're unexpectedly you do pretty well and you grow very fast. Okay, you're gonna have to think. Okay, how am I going to process the whole thing time wise? How much of time will I actually have? And how much of experience am I going to have? Okay, how well am I going to do within the field I'm not prepared to step into? Okay. Warehousing, then recruitment, then, you know, health and safety,
staffs
turning up and not turning up to work, etc., etc. The whole thing. Plus then shipping, negotiating good shipping prices. That's another thing. Okay, when you're small and you speak directly to the carriers, they never give you a price that the fulfillment center could offer.
Yeah.
Okay, so cost. But most importantly, time. The more time you manage to save, the more of it you can spend on sales and marketing.
I think that's a mistake a lot of people make, is that if you don't value your own time like that, then it's all you end up doing is wasting it. You know, you spend 8 hours a day in your garage or your little warehouse picking and packing your orders, which is great. But that's not what you started out your business to do.
Yeah.
You wanted to be a retailer, and you very quickly get consumed by doing the day-to-day stuff. And as you mentioned, you bring in a whole load of other headache in terms of having people staffing it and systems and carriers. It all takes time. And ultimately, in some ways, getting those orders out every day is the most important thing you'll do, because a customer's paid for it. You don't want to disappoint them. You want them to shop again. But it stops you spending your time on looking for new products, refining your marketing strategies, posting on social. So, yeah, I think it's... there definitely comes a time when it's time to make that jump, I think, to fulfillment. So
I mean, you can roughly know the time scale, because when you're starting off, you can do the whole thing yourself. But you get to the point, especially if you're successful online, where when you're beginning to have less and less time to probably list new product or be attentive to customers, customer service, then I think it's time for you to find
a I'll put it this way. If your idea is to start an online business, ideally all you'd like is a laptop, right? You'd like to have your laptop, then you take it to the beach, or you take it to a coffee shop, or you go in the mountains. You know, we've spent last winter skiing. I mean, we spent 4 months in a mountain skiing, and we could work in the meantime.
Well, it came with hard work at first. You don't do that at the beginning.
You have to
put your energy into it, and this is the result you get from the hard work you've put over the year or two or three. And it depends, because we can't easily say that as soon as you put online business, you're going to be skiing. Then you're going to go downhill. Pretty fast.
Sure. What I've tried to say is, if that's what you want, why would you start your own operation? Why even think to get a warehouse and stuff it with the stock and put like 30,000 pieces of clothing that you need to manage and then employ all people to dispatch it?
We've done all of those steps. If we knew what we knew at the beginning, and I think this is a learning for whoever wants to start online, if we knew what we knew now, we would have probably done it first.
Yeah.
Really? We wouldn't waste time and effort and energy.
We didn't go for fulfillment centers.
Because we didn't know about it.
Right, we didn't know about it.
Yeah.
If we knew that.
We would have done that first. We wouldn't have had a warehouse or, you know, have, you know, recruitment or staffs and all the headaches that comes with it.
Yeah.
That would have been the first choice, no fail.
Yeah, we'll deal with all the headaches.
So we're kind of glad we're at this stage now.
Some people say you don't know what you don't know, right? I mean, you're not aware of what's behind the corner. You get to discover it while you progress. So when you're thinking marketplaces, put that price up and see whether your product sells. If you start with a low price, you can't really reduce it, okay? If you have to drop a price a little bit from high down to low, okay, you can check it in the form of promotion. But pricing it down, right at start, don't prepare you for all those hidden costs on your way.
Yeah, you're going to get burned.
Yeah.
Early days.
Yeah.
It is very important to know that when you're starting online, especially, and you will probably start with marketplaces because that is the easiest way to land your feet on the ground, because then advertising is done for you automatically, unless you have a good experience advertising or marketing your website. You will always find people cheaper.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. If they're selling one for the same product, because Amazon and eBay is an open platform, which you have people from China, from all over that could make the same product. And if they can't, they can just look at your pictures and make it.
Yeah.
Half of the cost.
Disregard other people's prices on the marketplace. Just do that. Disregard their prices. Just stick to what you need.
I have a bit of a thing on a marketplace where, especially more on eBay, I'll rarely buy the cheapest one of the thing I want because I almost don't trust it. It's a bit like, well, it seems that it can't be getting any good if it's a pound. You know, I'd nearly always go for the one that's sort of in the middle.
Yes.
Because I just psychologically, you're thinking, who can do that for a pound?
Too good to be true.
It's too good to be true. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Okay. Service, in terms of the service that you deliver to your customers, where would you rank that in importance? So you've got them onto the website and they like look at your products. How important is that offering, like cost, speed, and ease of returns in particular in fashion?
Speed is key. And this is the beauty with a fulfillment center, because once the product comes in, it gets dispatched straight away. And customer service, back in the days, I would say you can take 20 hours to answer a customer's message.
60 minutes.
In this case, you should try to do it within 3 or 4 hours of them answering, of someone sending the message. Obviously.
A day is an eternity now.
A day.
They cancel, go somewhere else.
That's it, and they move on. So it's very important that your customer service is really on point. And usually I will always say that's the hard part of online business is the communication, because you constantly are communicating with your customers. And it's easy for a customer from the other side to be frustrated because maybe they receive the size they didn't thought that was going to fit, anything like that. So you have to be very good at putting yourself into the customer's shoe and go, okay, I understand. And how much is it going to cost me to get that loyal customer back?
Mm-hmm.
Then you're just saying, you know what, I'm going to show you out because I don't think you're right.
Yeah.
That's not how you work online anymore. I think you have to be prepared to lose a couple of pounds.
Yeah, I remember there was a time when we, maybe 7 or 8 years ago, where we were saying we would respond within 2 to 3 days to customers. That now, people won't take that. And, no. and it's so easy for them. But then back in those days, we were probably dealing with 70% phone calls, 30% email.
Yeah.
Where I think now that's turned on its head, if not even more. I'd say 80% of the calls and or the contacts that we handle for customers are email.
Yeah.
And people, the problem is if you don't go back quick, you get another one going, you haven't responded to my email. And it's just kind of, it's a downward spiral then of we're never getting back to anybody. So, and do you guys do live chat or anything yet on the website?
We had a live chat, and I think it's something we're going to actually go back on. We did have a live chat and it really worked great. And it was a opportunity for customers to kind of, you know, have a one-to-one with the customers. I mean, I don't know how much difference it made. It didn't make any difference. I mean, it was convenient for customers, I guess. But because we really do reply to customers' messages so quickly, usually sometimes in 20 minutes.
You weren't having a problem.
We wasn't having a problem. And we didn't want it to be distracting customers with that live chat pop-up, especially when it comes to fashion. But certain things, like if you're selling other aspects of, I don't know, let's say computers, and I believe that live chat is a key because people need more technical information.
Spec. What's the memory?
That's it. I think live chat becomes more of a value key, a value app or whatever you call it to use on your website. But when it comes to fashion, details is already in the description.
Make sure that the product description is spot on.
Pictures already there.
Pictures, videos, do that first class.
They wouldn't really need your
You won't need live chat. But when it comes to messages, emails,
be quick with it.
I seen yesterday ASOS have now got a new thing on their website where they're asking their customers to rate the fitting of the product. So, and it'll tell you at the bottom, 85% of people who bought this thought it was the right size. And that's simple, but really effective, I think.
That's how you replace the stuff like live chat, because that's an instant social proof to particular issue.
You're giving them all the information up front. They've got all that stuff to look at.
Exactly.
I mean, with fashion like this, I mean, it works. I don't know how it works with other things, but when it comes to fashion, this is a really good idea when it comes to fitting, because people want to know how it is. But I mean, with fashion, it is very good to be very descriptive, even little things like the stretch of the pants, because you want to make sure that you want to reduce your return. And if you're very lenient with your description, then there's a chance that someone's going to buy the wrong item and they're going to resend your return. So you will be having 20-25% return rate if that's the case. So you have to be informative and be accurate, because it's easy to be copy and paste and be like, this is what it is, while it's not. So you have to be very, very true to that.
That's the stuff we're doing with you with a poster, isn't it? Validating the measurements that your suppliers have said, because you know sometimes they'll get it wrong. You know, there's a lot of people involved in it. Somebody could make a mistake somewhere along the way.
Just double check.
Okay, so the one big thing I always get, if I was starting an online store, the thing that would scare me the most is how to generate traffic from a, you know, as you said before, there's loads of different competitors out there selling similar products. How did you guys start driving traffic to your own website?
There's two things that you need to think of. Not only how you drive the traffic, but how you convert it as well.
Yeah.
Because you may get a lot of traffic. Okay.
It's got to be quality traffic, hasn't it?
Not just that yet. That too.
Yeah.
Okay, but then you need to make effort into you know, getting conversion right.
I think it starts with to really be successful in your own website. It has to start with the website. Visual of the website, the meta tags of the website, the back end of the website, because it's easy to open a website and you don't focus on the visual aspect, because if your website is not working properly, then you're not really going to convert.
It's like if it takes 3 or 4 seconds to load each page, people are gone before you're even started.
Exactly.
This is another thing. When you focus lots on visual and you go for high quality images and you put a lot of them on a homepage, you actually lose the traffic that you directed to it. If the loading time's too long, okay, bye-bye traffic. So, yes.
People want speed now. I think that's the key. I mean, if you, especially now, 70% of customers shop on mobile.
Really? Is it that high?
And it's literally that high. And it's, in most cases, it's what, 10-15% on desktop, and then the remaining on tablet and stuff like this. Especially in fashion, because when it comes to conveniency, you're using your mobile most of the time. You're click away. And so what you don't want to do is go to a website and you have that kind of waiting.
Yeah, or it doesn't render correctly on a small screen.
So before you're thinking traffic, traffic often means a cost. You've got to advertise to get your traffic. Run a couple of checks. Check the loading time and see how your shopping cart works. Okay, and then focus on those two. How fast your website loads, how good the product looks, how easy it is to browse, how easy it is to find a product that you're offering to the market within your own website, and then how easy it is to click buy now and then fill everything in and close. Okay, then you can think, okay, I'm ready. I can start investing in advertising and get that traffic in and see whatever I thought would sell will sell. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, there is a lot of ways of advertising now. You have, you know, Google, you have Facebook that works really great, and there's so many ways of doing it. I mean,
Instagram
as well, social media, we've mentioned that also helps. So it's important to be very active on social media, because you will probably be advertising most of your product on social media, through Facebook and things like this. So it is important to again, traffic at the beginning, be prepared to lose some money, because you're not always going to get it right.
Yeah.
It doesn't work that way. But you have to be prepared to make a loss to learn to then make a gain.
Or even sites that are converting well, if you were getting anywhere between 4% and 7% conversion on your website, I think
that's
you're doing
huge.
Really
that
well.
Is really, yeah. really high. That's good.
Yeah, you
that's
say
really
that's really high,
good.
Yeah.
That's really good if you're doing it.
I think
it depends on the industry as well, because for example, fashion industry, I mean the average is 2-3%.
Right.
But it's because a lot of we call it the window shoppers, where people wanna see.
Yeah.
Well, maybe not ready. Maybe
wait till payday.
That's it,
yeah.
maybe I'll come back. While if your computer, for example, or technical stuff, you kind of roughly have a mindset of what you want, then you go into a website to kind of find that specific, but that's what you're putting in the search. Conversion rate should be higher. Again,
we have it in protein. Those guys, they run out of the protein, they want it the next day, they're generally brand loyal, and so the conversion at certain times in the day is really high, because they can't wait another 3 or 4 days. They want it tomorrow.
Exactly.
But they're already fully invested in that product and that brand. Whereas fashion's much more impulsive, I would think. You know, the weather goes nice and you think, oh, do you know what? I need some tops for the summer.
Yeah.
I'll have a look around. But you might look 3 or 4 times. Yeah.
Yeah. Fashion is a little bit is different when it comes to conversion rate. And I think it's obviously the cutthroat market of the industry. Fashion is the hot. They say it's the easiest / the hardest thing to do. And there's a lot of people doing it. So you have to be ready to be competitive and be knowledgeable in it as well.
It does take time. It takes effort. And you got to learn how to ask questions as well. Okay, and ask yourself why and find the answer. Analyze it. And then if it works, then fine. If it doesn't, try something else.
Yeah.
Okay, but what you can do wrong is to trust something you've just read or heard. And, you know, do it without testing it, set it, leave it, and hope that you're okay for another month or two.
Do you guys do any A-B testing or anything like that?
Yeah, we do, we did A-B. It's important with the A-B testing, because then it kind of roughly gives you an idea what customer wants. Because it's easy to think, okay, this is what I want, and be fixed. While the A-B test is, you know, the B works better than A, or the A works better than the B.
And a lot of it is trial and error. You know, you'll never get it all right first time.
Yeah, it's true.
And just while we're on that, so systems, you guys use Shopify for your platform?
Yeah.
Is that right? Yeah. How did you guys select the system? Because again, a lot of people that I speak to right in the early days are asking me, who would you go with? Now,
okay, I'll tell you why Shopify. Okay.
We did Magento first.
We did Magento first.
Yeah. Why?
Because it offered the most of features, because it is the that you can get really advanced with, okay? And it's pretty complicated too, so, you know, we went that route. And
I think most people will probably go that route
key.
As well.
Okay, yeah. Simplicity is the key. The more complex something you use, the more manpower it takes.
Yeah. And the more you're more likely to break as well.
Yeah. If you have a budget to invest, perhaps, why not? Okay, but then get your team recruited to look after it at all times. Okay.
Developing in-house, you mean? So,
yeah. Otherwise, go simple. Just find a platform that works for you and doesn't need you to spend a lot of time on maintaining and fixing stuff that falls apart.
Okay.
Yeah. In a way, the same rule applied to picking a fulfillment center when it came to it. Okay, we didn't want to be constantly around and, you know, keep coming back and checking everything's fine, and when it wasn't, we didn't want to battle people who, you know, wouldn't take an advice. Okay. For as long as it works, it works. So go for what's simplified and use that.
Yeah.
Focus on sales. That's the key. Focus on what you want to be doing. Okay? If selling a product is what you want to do, then focus on that. Okay, and make everything work around it.
I think now, especially, and this is more now than it was 4 or 5 years ago, you have a lot of platforms that you can use that it doesn't have to be. That can be self-built as well. You know, you have WooCommerce. There's so many other platforms.
WooCommerce, BigCommerce. You have that
Squarespace, OpenCart.
Yeah, there's so many nowadays.
It becomes really confusing. And I think because our business has a lot of experience with Shopify, I'm always tempted to push people towards it. And I've built a couple of sites myself, you know, and I know if I can do it, it really is that easy. And like putting promos on yourself, like Magento, again, you want to change your scrolling banners or something, you need a developer again to do it. Sales are so good.
Magento, the beauty about Magento, again, we had that at the beginning, the beauty about Magento is that it has the flexibility of you creating almost anything you want to create. And it visually is great.
But that can be overkill, can't
that it? That can, and that is an overkill, because the problem is that you have to have a developer inside constantly keep fixing it.
What are you going to do when you get your developer fired? Another one would need to come and check and spend time and perhaps fix it.
I mean, you can outsource all these things. That's not a problem. But what is the issue with, and a lot of people, I mean, there is a way, I mean, you must start with Shopify and then maybe might have to progress to Magento depending on how much.
I always think that's a great problem to have.
Yeah.
If you're doing 2 million quid worth of sales a year and you got to upgrade, then, you know, big deal.
Then I'll say start with that.
If you go for Shopify, it might be expensive. Because with Shopify, many people would get overexcited and they would look through the applications and they'd say, I want this, they'd make their list because they believe they need it all.
Yeah.
And then their bill would go for, I don't know, $1,100 a month.
Really?
Okay. So check free applications first. Okay. Go for all those extensions that you can use right at the start. Maintain those costs low. Okay. Because you know what, money you spend on subscriptions could be spent on stock, okay, or adverts.
Adverts, right. Definitely. I think the key, really, if you're starting online, is to be prepared to spend money on advertising. Because it's easy to be like, yeah, I'm going to open a website and I'm going to create a website and hopefully it's going to start converting. If people can't, it's not on a high street store where there is footpath.
Yeah.
Your footpath is you directing people to come to you.
But it's like the rent on a shop on a back alley or having a shop in Westfield.
That's the difference in cost.
You pay a lot more to be in Westfield. So it's they're old-fashioned rules, but people don't like spending money on advertising. But that's how you generate business.
That's how you generate business. So you have to be prepared to spend money.
Again, I'd say the less time you spend on checking how your website actually work, the more money you're going to waste on advertising that didn't convert.
Yeah, very true.
Okay, it's important to answer the question. Because first of all, every single website that starts from scratch would not convert.
Mm-hmm.
So you have two options here. Okay, either say, it doesn't convert, so I'm going home, I'm going to put it down, I'm not doing it anymore.
Yeah.
Okay.
Giving up.
Or you ask yourself why.
Start working on that.
Why it doesn't convert, and then find the answer, and then constantly search and find ways to improve that conversion, and you know, work on it and check it again, and push so you don't have to waste money on advertising that doesn't convert.
Yeah. And are you doing all that through Google Analytics?
You may benefit from decent reports when it comes to your own backend of the website.
Yeah.
You will definitely benefit from Google Analytics because they would analyze everything that's
on your page
on its way to it, and then everything that happens to it. There's one more thing that's called mouse flow, which helps you to see what your customers actually do with your page and when
there's other, or where other, where they other drop. Apps, mm-hmm. Many so apps
yeah,
that, like,
there's lots of software you can use.
Yeah.
Yeah, the thing is to give it time to actually perform, to focus on doing it. Not just set the website and then, you know, pop out to the pub thinking that made it. Okay. First 2-3 years need you to perform.
Yeah, it does need you to perform. You can't be on a beach and be like, yes, I'm online now. That's the lifestyle I want, and I don't have to put the effort in it. It doesn't work that way. It will become that way after the
once you learn it.
If it was that easy, everybody would do it.
Everyone would be doing it exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Okay, well, that's great, guys. I really appreciate your time. Thanks for having me down today, and thanks for answering all our questions.
Most welcome. Pleasure.